So there is this conundrum in this story. This is a joyful day, as you heard me talk about in the children's moment. This was a day when the people had come full circle. So why were there so much weeping? Why were there so many people crying? This was a time when the people had worked very, very hard, to rebuild their city, to rebuild their nation. They had had to rebuild their temple. They had just completed the walls to protect the city from invaders again. They had rebuilt their homes, their fields, their orchards. They had had huge, huge influxes of people. Now, keep in mind, when Israel was exiled, it had been quite some time before. Northern Israel was sacked in about 721 BCE by the Assyrians. Southern Israel was sacked in about 587 BCE by the Babylonians. So when in 444 they're having this celebration, it's about 140 years later. Now, I want you to think about how different America is now from the way it was 140 years ago. Think about the different mix that we have of people, the different classes and who's in them. Think about the different laws that we have, the different technologies that we have. I want you to just really think of the difference there. And I want you to recognize that when people were exiled, they formed the diaspora. That had not existed before then. People had scattered far and wide outside of Israel to different countries. We see these in the diaspora text where we hear about people in the land of Persia, when we hear about people in the land of Egypt, when we hear about people in Nineveh, which was the capital city of Babylon. They had been living and they had been adapting to these other cultures. They had been learning different languages. Hebrew was no longer their first language. They had learned to eat different foods. They had learned to wear different clothing, sing different songs, and their children and their children's children had been raised never having visited their homeland. And so, depending on when they had been exiled, they were coming back 150 to 300 years after the fact to return to this place that had suddenly been rebuilt. Some of them had been able to help with the rebuilding. Some were just coming in at this moment. So they tried to create a celebration. And what's really interesting about it is how accessible it is. Come on in. You're welcome here. So what they do, first of all, is they take their book and they walk it outside of the temple and they have their celebration outside of the temple walls. They have their celebration outside of the temple walls. And they read the book. It says they read the law, the book of law. That's a mistranslation. What they were doing was reading the Torah, which is the first five books generally of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which tells the story of how they came to be as a people, how they were exiled once before when they fled the land of Egypt, how they survived 40 years in the wilderness, and how they came back to the promised land, claimed it, and settled it. And in that is also all of the rules that Moses laid down from the tablets he got on Mount Sinai that tell the people how they're supposed to live to be in accordance with one another, how they're supposed to live in harmony with one another. Now, I want you to imagine if you've spent 300 years waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, and you suddenly come see it, hear it, know that you've lived it, and you suddenly get a glimpse of the promised land and the beloved community that your God has been promising you for generations, wouldn't you weep? Wouldn't you be just a little bit emotional? See, when we hear this speaking of beloved community, when we hear the concept of what Eucharist is and could be and should be, when we hear about the promised land, when we hear about all people being beloved and treated according to Christ's love, it's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing entirely to glance back and suddenly realize that you not only witnessed it, you were a part of it, and it's right there before your eyes. We don't get to see it all the time, but we get to see little glimpses of it. We get to see little tiny glimpses of it. And I'll tell you, I've been seeing a lot of it this past few weeks. The kids got together last Sunday evening to prepare this meal for the shelter dinner. And while I got here a little bit early to start pulling the food together, Faye and Rosemary ran down the hill to go play with their friends who live next door. They've gotten to know the kids in the neighborhood. And at a certain point, they had to come back up, and the kids were asking them, well, what are you doing? Why do you have to go? And they told them. And all of a sudden, we had two more kids, Raina and Mia, who you saw this morning, saying, well, can I come help too? And all of a sudden, we had two more kids in the kitchen, and they were chopping garlic and frosting cakes like you wouldn't believe. And we had beloved community because they were all laughing and sharing together, preparing a meal for people that they had never met before who did not have enough. And you get a glimpse of what it can look like when people from all different walks of life come together to give outside of themselves, to make the love of God accessible. It started here in this little church kitchen, but it went out into the community. Just like we see what happened in 444 BC. They started in the temple, and they walked it right outside. And it says they translated it because they recognized that a lot of the people that lived there could not understand the book in its traditional language. They translated it, and they interpreted it so that everyone could be part of it. It says not only men were there, it specifically says, and women were there too, and they heard the book as well. So we're suddenly breaking through gender barriers and making it accessible. The people that traditionally, the priests would be the only ones that would actually be able to see the book, touch the book, have the book in their presence, it's walked right outside. This is huge. This is a huge break in tradition. And you also see Nehemiah, the king, and Ezra, the head of the temple, working together. Now that's a little bit of a mixing of church and state. We have issues with that here in the United States, and for good reason. And at the same time, it's quite a blessing to see politicians and church leaders working together to make information accessible to all people, to make welcome accessible to all people, to make the laws understandable and accessible to all people, and actively encouraging people to share what they have so that everyone has enough, so that everyone can celebrate the rebuilding. That's huge. That's revolutionary. So the following day, Monday, I got here. I had Faye with me. Rosemary had a sniffle, so I'm going to give extra special thanks to Jackie Dima, who watched Rosemary that evening so that she wouldn't infect everybody at the homeless shelter, so that I could be there and so that Faye could be there. And again, Raina and Mia said, well, can we help too? Can we help too? And they wanted to come up and help put the food together and come serve at the shelter. Well, they started talking about it with other kids in the neighborhood. And all of a sudden, we had little Grenor came. She's a very sweet little girl who's been coming to our homework club. And she wanted to come too. And so she came to help frost the cakes. And at that point, we had too many people. We couldn't bring them all to the shelter to help serve. And so she made me promise that we would do this again soon so that she could come and bring her sister and bring her other friend who wanted to come as well. And so you look at all of these children that were frosting the cakes. We had to let them cool overnight, you see. They're frosting the cakes and decorating the brownies. And I have pictures of these kids, like, licking the frosting and licking the batter bowl. When you look at true Eucharist, breaking bread together, if you see a bunch of children from different walks of life, from different countries, from different religions, all licking frosting together, is that true Eucharist? It sure looked like it to me. Preparing, excited, preparing themselves to go and help others. That's Eucharist at its essence. You get to see little glimpses of it, and you look back at the history of everything the Bible tells us, and you say, you know, maybe we got this just for a minute. We figured out what Jesus was trying to tell us all these years. So today we are celebrating another year together. We're having our annual congregation, which sounds very bureaucratic, does it not? But in reality, what we are doing is we are coming together to break bread together and celebrate another year together. Look over all the accomplishments of the past year. Review our history and how God has been with us all this time and where we have seen glimpses of God. To make decisions together about how we're going to sustain our community and how we're going to give back and reach out to those outside of the community, to make education and the law accessible, to make sure that those who don't have enough have enough, and to celebrate, to truly celebrate. And if that doesn't make you a little teary-eyed, when you look back and realize all the ways that God has worked with us throughout history and this past year, I don't know what will. I taught a workshop yesterday, and a woman came, and she had emailed me and said, guess what? I know this church. My great-grandfather used to be a minister there. Reverend Atkinson? And then she said he also, her great-great-great-grandfather used to be a minister at Campbell United Church of Christ. I may have gotten that name wrong, because she told me two ministers, and now I'm getting them mixed up. But she showed me pictures from her book where they were talking about FCC San Rafael back in 1890. There are photographs of wagons with, you know, big old wagon wheels taking pictures of people eating ice cream together and notes and clippings from their little newsletter that had been made on an ancient typewriter that talked about how they were raising tons of money, like $27, to donate to the local homeless population. And you look back over this history and you see these glimpses of beloved community and how when we talk about breaking through those barriers, when we talk about sharing with other people, when we open our minds and our hearts to let God work in the mix of it, when we let go and let God truly move, amazing things start to happen and we start to get glimpses of community that we didn't even realize could happen. So that Monday night, we all went to the shelter dinner. I had three kids in my car, two of which were not mine. They just wanted to come, so there was this last minute calling back and forth their mother, their grandmother, to make sure that it was okay that they'd come, calling another parent. Are you aware that your child is here helping us frost cake? She had no idea that she had run up here because she wanted a frost cake, so we had to get that sorted out. Her sister came to pick her up, ended up staying to frost some cakes. And then we took off. We had a van full of lasagna and salad and garlic bread and cakes and brownies and three children, and we all went to the shelter. And now here's the concern. Here's what I have seen and what I've heard multiple times in this congregation. When children start doing things that adults have traditionally done, there is worry. There is worry. What if they mess everything up? What if they don't take it seriously? What if they're rowdy? Is what I hear. And those are legitimate concerns. They're legitimate concerns. So we made sure to talk to the kids and especially the little ones. You know, we had a first grader. Mia is only in first grade. And I said, you know, the ladies that are coming in may be very, very tired. They may be a little bit skittish because they don't know you. They may be worried that if they see a bunch of kids running around, that this isn't a safe place for them, and then they might not want to come back, and then they will be out on the streets again because they don't feel like they can come to the shelter anymore. So we need to take this seriously. This is what I was told. And I talked about this with the kids, and they swore up and down that they would behave themselves, they would work hard, they would listen, they would stay quiet, they would not be roughhousing or being rowdy or anything like that. And they did a great job. They worked really hard. They set the tables. They decorated them. They put all the food out. They stood behind the table and served the ladies. When it was time for dessert, they walked around with trays of cakes and brownies and offered them to everyone, and they cleaned the whole thing up afterwards. The whole thing up. And they did it with a smile on their face. Very, very nicely. People commented over and over again, these children are so polite. They're so well behaved, they said. It's just such a joy to have them here, they said. And then I got distracted. I was tidying some things up and talking with Cher in the kitchen, and everything was pretty much done. And I came out of the kitchen into the main area, and I heard the strangest sound. I heard at least a dozen or so voices singing Rockin' Robin together. Yeah. And the children were demonstrating Broadway dance moves to this. And the women were trying to pick them up, right? And they were dancing and singing together. And then all of a sudden, a second later, I turned my back and I went back and I turned around again. And now the ladies were standing up and they're teaching the kids the Macarena. They were teaching the children the Macarena, and they were all hugging each other. And I heard a homeless woman say, "Thank you so much for keeping me in your prayers. I so need your prayers, and I will pray for you too." And there it was. There it was. Once I got out of the way, the Holy Spirit moved, and beloved community was there. People from different walks of life, different religions, different races, different nationalities, different ages, coming together with joyful spirits to break bread together, to celebrate, to nourish one another and nurture one another, singing and dancing and joyfully praising God together. And there it was. I couldn't have manufactured that if I'd tried my darndest. And when we look back at our history, at how many times this has happened in the past year, how many people can think of another time when this has happened this year when, wow, you suddenly saw it. You saw what we're shooting for. When I came out of my office and found that Rosemary, my little truant, had cut Sunday school and run down the hill to gather up 8 children and bring them back up to Sunday school. And they were waiting for me to say hello. They don't even practice Christianity. They have another religion. But they wanted to come, and they wanted to say hello, and we had beloved community. So as we go into our meeting today, I want everyone to remember what we're doing. I want everyone to remember what we've been taught, what the book says, what our true call is, what our purpose is, as we celebrate the past year, as we celebrate the past 100 years, as we celebrate all that we've accomplished and all that there is still to do, and how by working together and getting out of the way and letting the Holy Spirit move, we can accomplish it together. Can I get an amen to that?